Should I go or should I stay? Is this the right relationship for me? Is this a healthy and good relationship? Is it one I should commit to? If you've ever been in a situation where you were asking yourself these questions, or if you're in that kind of situation right now, stay tuned to this episode to learn what you can do to move through that to find an answer.
If you've ever been disillusioned, disappointed, or discouraged in your search for love, and you know there has to be a better way to find the healthy, soul-filling love you've always longed for, then you've discovered the podcast for you. I know, as Ken's work personally has led me to find the love of my life. So here's your host of Deeper Dating, Ken Page.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Deeper Dating Podcast. I'm Ken Page, and I'm a psychotherapist. I'm the author of the best-selling book, Deeper Dating, How to Drop the Games of Seduction and Discover the Power of Intimacy. And I'm so glad to be here with you today. We're going to be talking about, do I stay or do I go? How do I know if a relationship is really right for me or not? And in this episode and every episode, I'm going to share with you the greatest tools and skills and insights I know to help you find healthy love that can last and keep it flourishing. Because the skills of dating are the skills of intimacy, which are the greatest skills of all in life. And if you want to learn more about the deeper dating path to deeper intimacy and to finding love, just go to deeperdatingpodcast.com and there you'll find tons of resources. If you sign up for my mailing list, you get free gifts and a lot of really rich and valuable resources. And on that site, you'll find transcripts of every episode of this show. And finally, I just want to say, if you like what you hear and learn here, I would so appreciate it if you could subscribe and leave me a review. Those reviews are just, the reviews that we've gotten are just so beautiful and they mean so much to me and they help support the podcast. So thank you so much for that too. And let's jump in. So this is such a rich and poignant and almost existential subject, and there are just no easy answers. And I think one of the greatest privileges in my 35 years as a psychotherapist doing this work has been watching people wrestling with dignity and with bewilderment and with struggling and with integrity with this question of, do I stay? Is this relationship right for me? And that process is difficult. It's a struggle so often, but it leads to so much wisdom. And when it finally leads to clarity, and ultimately, you know, in most cases it does, there's a kind of something very, very powerful that happens in either direction that it goes in. And I have some amazing stories that I'm going to be sharing with you today that capture kind of some of that, the different ways that people handle this question. There's so much to say about this subject. This question is such a profound one. And sometimes we're in very different places. And depending on where we are in our life and the particular questions that we have about a relationship, there's just so much learning to be done. And the stories that I've seen, like I said, about people struggling with these questions is just, it's very, very inspiring. And so I'm going to share certain types of scenarios that I have seen people struggle with. And for each of those, I'm going to tell a story about somebody trying to move through that. And then I'm going to share some thoughts about what to do if you are in that situation, some kind of concrete steps that you can take in a number of different scenarios. So one kind of scenario is the experience of, I care about this person, maybe I even love this person, and this person loves me, but I'm not getting enough of what I need from the relationship, and I don't know what I should do about that. I know someone who was in a relationship with a guy And she really, really cared about him deeply. And he cared about her deeply. But his life involved a lot of traveling, like a lot of traveling, like almost half the year he was away. And as much as she wanted to, she could not stop from taking that personally, from being affected, from being sad. And she ultimately broke the relationship off. And years went by. She stayed in touch with this person. Nothing changed. She honored her decision. She was not finding another relationship. At a certain point, something shifted in her heart, and she said, I really care about this guy. I'm going to try again. She went back. She went back with, I guess, more openness and more willingness. And they are together years later in love and happy. And he's traveling 6 months out of the year. And that's still hard for her. But it works for her. And it's a relationship where there's a lot of love and a lot of safety. It's just one story of the complications that we experience. So I want to say something, though, about that kind of situation. I want to say that it's so existential, and we really have to decide for ourselves kind of what is not enough. When does not enough hit the too much not enough point? And we'll come back to what to do in a situation like that. Another situation I have seen a lot is people in relationships with narcissists, and they didn't really realize it. Sometimes it took them years and years to actually capture, like get a real understanding of the narcissism of their partner. And this is something that I have seen again and again, is that people who are in relationship with a narcissist, when there is a divorce, especially if there are custody issues involved, that's when you get to see the person's real nature. And it's shocking and horrifying in so many cases. But that's something I've seen, and again, that the full kind of flowering of a partner's narcissism doesn't come out until it's time for custody or separation. And then they kind of cross a line of terrible behavior that makes the person realize, oh my God, this was here all along, but I didn't see it. That's another thing that I've seen many, many times. And then there's the I don't know if I'm in love enough kind of question. And this is a really, really complicated one. And I'm just going to tell actually a few stories about that, a couple different stories about that. One story is, this is someone I know, and I talked about this. I talked about this couple in my book. So this is kind of a mystical story, but I know it's true. I know it's true. So this guy was dating someone. He really cared about her profoundly. She was the most amazing woman that he had ever been with. And their connection was so powerful and so intense. But there were certain qualities that just weren't what he pictured being with for the rest of his life. And he felt it was really important to honor that. Like he was not going to get married until he really, really knew that this was, you know, as they say, a fuck yes. And he wasn't going to do it until then. And his poor partner, who was an amazing person, felt so much love from him that she was able to kind of live with this over an extended period of time. And I mean an extended period of time. I'm talking years. Finally, he said, you know what? Like, this is not fair to you. It is not fair to me. Obviously, the feelings aren't strong enough. And so I am going to end it. And he did. And he was fine. And in time, she was fine. She was going on and meeting other people and kind of feeling like a renaissance in her life. There was one guy that she was getting really serious with. Anyway, he had an experience. He was dating people. He was dating models. He was, you know, just really having fun. He was living with this woman. It was like nothing really, really serious, but he was happy and he was having fun. And he wasn't thinking about her. So one night, and this happened right when she was getting very serious about someone, one night, his mother, who had passed away. He felt something shaking him in the middle of the night, and he felt his mother's presence. And she had this message for him, which was, "What the hell are you doing? You're going to lose her. What are you doing?" And she shook him awake, but she shook him awake, awake. And he woke up the next morning and he realized, "I love her. I want to be with her." And he called his best friend and they went and they got a ring and he went right to her house and he proposed to her, which was completely shocking and stunning to her because she was, you know, getting really interested in this other guy. But she knew he meant it. And she knew that he was right for her. And many, 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 many years later, they are still together and very happy as a couple. So I just want to acknowledge, and this is something that I have really honored, is people not saying yes until it's a full-bodied yes. And here's another story that is one of the most powerful and moving stories that I've experienced in my practice working with couples. So I was working with someone who was not happy in his relationship, and he decided that he was going to end his relationship. And this was incredibly hard for him, and they had been together for a few decades, and his partner was very ill at that point. And he cared about him deeply. But he knew that this was over. He knew that he wasn't in love and that he was kind of cheating himself because he was staying, but he was resenting his partner. He was resenting the smallness and the limitedness of the life that he had, but he didn't have it in him to be able to end it. So he came to therapy with the specific intent of ending the relationship. We worked together for quite a while, and then he was finally ready. And he ended the relationship. His partner was pretty devastated, but being the amazing guy that he was dignified, he was respectful. He was an elderly guy. It was an intergenerational relationship, but they had been together over 20 years, and he accepted it. So my client did this, and he kept coming to see me. And now with this weight of this terrible burden off his chest, his feelings began to come back because there was no longer a giant should. This he did not expect at all. I know I'm telling a few stories with this kind of particular theme, but I think they're important and rich stories. So he didn't know what to do. His feelings started coming back. And at one point he said to me, "I think I'm in love with him. I think I'm still in love with him." So the next part of the journey was telling him, and he absolutely couldn't do this. He just couldn't do it. And his partner could not travel because he was on, you know, oxygen. And so, and I have permission to tell this story. Of course, I wouldn't do it otherwise. His partner was on oxygen. And so I said, "I'm going to go to your house," because my client had a letter that, and the letter said, "I love you." And he had not said the words, "I love you," maybe ever in this whole relationship, or maybe it had just been a really long time. So the day came that we had our session in their apartment. I went over there and sat down, and my client and the guy's partner knew that this was going to be a thing, that something was going to happen, that he had something he had to tell him. And my partner read this card to him about how much he loved him and how he didn't realize it and how he deeply realized it. And this was all 100% authentic. He had to go through his authentic no to find his authentic yes, but it was authentic. And his partner, just the joy in his face, he said, "Oh my gosh, I'm going to go have a cocktail," which he couldn't do, but he was just saying that. He was so happy, but a very contained kind of guy. But he was really, really happy, and I got to witness that joy. So pretty shortly thereafter, because as I had said, his partner was very old and pretty ill. Very shortly, like I think a few weeks after he said, "I love you," he came home from work one day And his partner was lying on the floor. And he took him in his arms and just, you know, he called the ambulance and just took him in his arms and held him and said, I love you. His partner died within a day or two in the hospital. But he died knowing that he was loved, knowing that he was held, and knowing that they were together. And my client said that he thought that he was holding on to hear those words. So that's just an amazing story. And there's no moral message that that's what you have to do. The moral message here, I think, is following your truth wherever it leads you. I'll be right back after this. If you're interested in accelerating and deepening your search for love, I want to invite you to a very special project, the Deeper Dating Intensive. I only offer it twice a year, and it's a six-month journey working closely with me and an amazing community to transform each member's search for love. And you can learn more at deeperdatingintensive.com. And if it feels like a match, on that page you can set up a free one-on-one session with me to explore possibilities. I look forward to connecting if this speaks to you. Welcome back. Here's something I have seen a lot. And this is something I've seen in my intensives, because in my intensives, originally they were for people who were single and looking for a relationship, but someone contacted me and said, I'm in a relationship and I want to explore, is this the right relationship? And I said, okay. And then since then, this has happened many times that people who are in a relationship and were just questioning, is this a healthy enough relationship? Is this a relationship I should be in or not? Am I going to get my needs met? And they've gone through that existential process, kind of being witnessed by the intensive community. And the intensives are long. They're 6 months long. So there's really like a lot of time for people to do this deep work and this processing. And you can learn more about the intensives if you go to deeperdatingpodcast.com and look at Work with Ken. Anyway, this has happened again and again so many times. And we witness the back and forth and the struggling. But in that, there are certain things that I have seen, and I also think that this is like a gift of having been a therapist for so, so many years, is that I get to see patterns over long, long periods of time. But what I see again and again and again is that the person comes in not satisfied in their relationship, and they have a task. And the task is first to dignify the needs that they're having that are not being met, to honor those needs, to realize that there are core gift parts of them, in other words, deep, deep and essential parts of their being that are not being fed, that are not being watered, that are not being honored, so they're not happy. And then what happens is I think people come into this process thinking, I will get an answer. But they don't end up getting an answer. They end up earning an answer by living with the question in the relationship. And usually what that means is totally swinging out in terms of asking for what they want, which is so not easy to do. It's so, so, so not easy to do. It's vulnerable. It's embarrassing. It brings up our shyness. When we're talking about our core gifts, these are the most tender parts of ourselves, places where we've been wounded. So asking for what we want, especially in a relationship where we've become kind of inured to not getting it, oh man, is that hard and brave and heroic. And I want to tell you that, like, I think it's different in every case. Some people, their partners can't do it. But then they know because they went to the mat. They went to the mat with being honest about who they are and what they needed. They didn't go to the mat from a place of anger, ultimately. They turned their anger into an ask. And they went to the mat with their ask. And they listened to what their partner had to say too. And often, they were surprised by their partner's willingness to give it to them, especially when these people had already done a lot of work at self-honoring and self-dignifying so that the partner they were with had more capacity for that. But that's something I've seen again and again. And I would say that countless relationships end because people are not willing to do their deep asks. And it's heroic to do our deep asks in sex, in emotional needs, in what we want and what we long for. There's like this speed bump or this like electrified or ring of fire. It's like a ring of fire that we have to step over of embarrassment and humiliation and fear of not getting our needs met. And that ring of fire is holy. That is the fire of intimacy. And when we make that choice and step over that and we're held and caught, our love deepens and grows in profound ways in many cases. And then there's the case of people who are in a relationship and ultimately they know it's not going to meet their needs, but it's just so hard and so scary to get out of it. And I'm going to share a story now that is a story from a dear friend of mine. And it's like, it was like an Italian great aunt of his. And she was the oldest, or maybe grandmother. I think it was grandmother. And she was the oldest sister. So she had to get married first in this kind of like very conservative Italy culture back in those times. She had to get married first. So all of the other sisters had to wait. And she met guy after guy after guy, and she wasn't in love enough. Meanwhile, the pressure was indescribable because she was getting older and older and hence becoming, in that crazy world, less and less desirable because of her age. Her sisters were freaking out because the same thing was happening to them and they wanted to get married and their hands were completely tied. They could not get married until their older sister got married. And she was like, I am not marrying anyone I'm not in love with. So like years went by and then she finally met this guy that she was in love with and they got married. And then all the other sisters were able to get married. But the bravery of that woman to not say yes until her heart said a deep yes. And that's a piece of this that is so important. Go through your existential journey, but don't say yes until your heart says its deep yes. But don't think your heart is going to say its deep yes in these complex cases until you go full on. Every couple has what I call a good fight. It's not necessarily really a fight, although sometimes it can be like a fight, but it's this process of, it's what Harville Hendricks so brilliantly states. He says it reaches a point in every relationship where the thing you most want is the thing that's hardest for your partner to give you. And he says, that's not the end of the relationship. That's the beginning of the relationship, because that's when you build a bridge between your two worlds. A friend of mine's therapist said to him early on in the relationship that he's in for many, many, many years now, you and your husband are tasked with spending a lifetime learning a foreign language. And that foreign language is the language of your partner. And it's always, to some degree, going to be a foreign language, which is part of the magic of Eros, because Eros is a spark that needs to jump a gap of differentness. Anyway, that's really true about needing to learn that language. But nobody gets out of this, I think. Nobody gets to the next step who has this question until they go to the mat with the self-honoring, with the expression of their needs and their asks, and having those conversations not once, many times. And especially if you're in a relationship with someone where you haven't done this yet, trust me, they're not going to get it the first time or necessarily the second time or the third time. It's going to take time. But your partner's ultimate willingness, especially when you can do, as Harville Hendricks says, this act of turning your anger into an ask. And I just want to take a minute and say, making the ask is an act of intimacy, heroism. And listening to our partner's ask, which may be really quiet and it may be really understated, and we might only get to hear it once, because it's so tender and so vulnerable to do that. Listening to our partners ask is a holy act. It's an act of love. So on a concrete level, something that I just want to say are that there are certain kind of situations that my feeling is, if you're not deeply in a relationship, don't get into that relationship. Unequivocally, if there is abuse, don't get into the relationship and do get out of the relationship. If there is addiction, it's best not to get into the relationship until the person has solid, supported sobriety and deep commitment to that over a significant period of time, plus a lot of conversations about it. But don't even think that if your partner is sober without deep, deep support, and I believe in 12-step programs down to my bones, because the support in those programs is so powerful and so unlike any other thing that's available. And that's the kind of support people need in addiction. And if your partner has any serious psychiatric conditions that are not stabilized, wait and don't go into the relationship until they find a way to stabilize that. Now, this is not always true, and this is not do not be in a relationship with someone who has serious psychiatric conditions, but you want them to be committed to getting those stabilized and getting the help that they need for the sake of your relationship. These are my biases. I think those things are really important. If you're in a relationship and you're not ready to leave, that's a different journey, and I would encourage you to get support, particularly if it's an issue, whatever the issue is. If it's abuse, see someone who specializes in that. If it's addiction, see a therapist who specializes in that, someone with real solid clinical training. If you are in a situation where you are questioning the relationship, like you're just really not sure, the same points I said, first, to honor your bravery, because, oh man, it is brave to be like that sister and have the pressure of I should, or of this guy whose girlfriend really wanted to get married, but he wasn't ready yet. It's really, really brave to stay with your truth. And I honor that. I support that. You got to stay with the integrity of your truth. But I'm going to share another story here. This is a story of me and my husband. So I was really not ready to get married, and Greg really wanted to get married. I loved him a lot, but I wasn't ready to get married. And part of that was fear, and part of it was that there were certain issues that we had not yet fully worked through enough. And this is a kind of wild story, but I remember at one point we were selling my house. He had already sold his house to buy a home together. And I wasn't ready yet to say that I wanted to get married. And so he's a very gracious guy, but we were in the car together. My apartment was packed up. His home was already sold. And he looked at me and he said, "So Ken, you know, I bought a new house. I sold that house. I helped you sell your house. We sold your house. We're moving to a house together that we are buying together. But I just like want to know, like, are we in the direction that we're going to get married?" And I said, "Yes, absolutely." But I wasn't there yet. And he was very gracious about that. I mean, that's kind of a really wild story. But he felt how deep my love was. And he knew that and he trusted in it. What I came to realize was that the issues that concerned me would be worked out and worked through over time in the context of our committed relationship. But we did have to get to a point where I felt really ready to say, "Yeah, baby, let's do this." And I did get to that point, and we did get married. And that's another story of how we got married together. But just to acknowledge, like, kind of the importance of trusting your gut and your heart on that. And also acknowledging that in a wonderful, loving relationship, a lot of the questions get answered in the context of the post-commitment relationship. And that's what happened for us. If you're in a relationship that you know is not good for you, and you don't feel like you can leave it, get help and get support. Friends, therapy, support group, because sometimes it's just too hard to do it alone. If you need to end a relationship, get support. It is so important. It's so important. Thich Nhat Hanh, the brilliant Buddhist monk who passed away recently but was nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize by Martin Luther King, said, if you have a vial of ink, I think I might have told this story in the podcast before, but if you have a vial of ink and you empty it out, black ink, and you empty it out into a glass, the water is going to be so dark. But if you empty it into a river, it will dissipate. And the bitterness and the anguish of the pain of breakups dissipates when we are held closely and caringly by people who really love us and we love. We need that kind of swaddling to help us bear the pain that we're experiencing. So I just want to acknowledge how hard that can be too, and that we need deep, deep, deep support. But ultimately, if you are saying no to a relationship where you have gone to the mat with your needs and their needs, and you've done it, and the person is not willing or can't do it, and it's truly not enough, but you've gone there, and you know you need to leave, honor yourself. Honor yourself, whatever your decision is when you get to that point of clarity, and honor yourself before you get to that point of clarity because of your bravery in sticking with what is still unknown. Thank you all for listening. Thank you all for being a part of my listening community. And I look forward to connecting on the next episode of the Deeper Dating Podcast.
And that's it for today's episode of Deeper Dating. Be sure to go to deeperdatingpodcast.com as Ken has a few more gifts for you. Then join us on the next episode.